Anything else? Alrighty, going once.
Hey, you remember Cliff Smith, right? Well, next time you need plowing, you know, he's got a plow truck.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, matter of fact, he did plow here one time.
I think that guy is probably forgot the whole winter.
Well, if it don't work, you know, I'm sure you know where he lives, right?
Yeah. Okay. I should still have his number. Alrighty, well, it's.
I just want to say I'm blessed to be here, to be in this area, and we just got a house, and it took all of my finances and then some, so it's been a little tight, I guess you'd say, which I've been poor all my life, so that's no big deal, but just when I think, how am I going to meet this obligation, or how am I going to do that, something unexpected happens, and God has just supplied. And so I'm blessed to be able to give tithes to this church because you guys do it.
Back to God. But this is also kind of alluding to this, the fall that we all go through for sin, but also the rising when they will be resurrected, when we will be resurrected at the end times. So he was appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. A sign that is opposed. And he speaks to the mother, Mary, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. So, in other words, he was prophesying that she is going to be so hurt in the heart seeing what this son has to go through. This assignment of Mary's is both glorious and so difficult to have to go through. Any of you mothers understand that? You know, when you see your child just plain old getting sick, it's troubling for you, much less if you had to watch him be crucified. Last sentence. So that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. When we get baptized, when we get water baptized, we always say and teach that baptism is an outward sign of an inward belief. And so much of what we do as Christians, what other people see us doing, those are outward signs or actions of an inward belief. That makes sense? In other words, you know, we take it into our heart, but then what comes out should be what we had put into our heart, and hopefully those are the things of God. So, back to Simeon. Think about this. He was searching and waiting on the Messiah to show up. And I guess my challenge for you this morning is, are you? Are you searching and waiting for Jesus to show up? In other words, he's already come, but he's coming again. Are we living our life in such a way that we are constantly thinking about this day that's going to happen where he comes, and we meet him in the air, the rapture? Are we waiting for him like Simeon was? Are we, you know, is that constantly in our heart? You know, sometimes, maybe myself included, I think we spend too much time thinking and trying to look for that time when the Antichrist is revealed, the man of lawlessness. Well, really, our greater focus ought to be when looking up into the air and see Jesus. So, you know, I admit that too. So if anybody's troubled with that, I'm with you in the same boat. Okay, so we said that Jesus is going to be a sign that is opposed. What do we mean by that?
Wow!
A sign. First, what is a sign? A sign is some visible transaction, event, or appearance intended as proof or evidence of something else. In other words, evidence by sight. We often, as Christians, when we're praying, we ask for a sign, don't we? We ask for God, give me a sign that I'm understanding your will, to let me know that I'm hearing you correctly or going the right direction. A sign is a visible mark or representation as an outward sign of an inward and spiritual grace. A sign is a mark of distinction. So we know what a sign is now. And Simeon had prophesied that he was going to be a sign that is opposed. He was opposed by his own people. The Jewish people, Israel, the nation of Israel, did not receive the Messiah. Yes, some Jews got saved and became believers, but as a nation, as a religion, they did not receive him as the prophesied Messiah. So he was opposed by his own people. He was opposed by his people's religious leaders, the Pharisees. How many times do we see great discussions and arguments between Jesus and the Pharisees? He was opposed by the government. Remember when he was born and then a while later, three wise men came from the east and they met with Herod and said, we're looking for the king of the Jews. Herod did not like that because he considered himself king of the Jews. But he was so mad, he sent his army out to kill all the baby boys 2 years and younger in that city. Jesus has been continuously opposed by Satan, and he will be opposed by the coming Antichrist, the man of lawlessness. Strangely enough, this prophecy, this fact that Jesus would be a sign that is opposed, did not stop or change the mission. In other words, God foreknew what was going to happen, all of this opposition, but it did not change the mission. They still went through all of the things that were prophesied and needed to be done. So why was Herod so fearful? When the wise men came to him and said, where is this king? Why was he so fearful?
Because he was being challenged.
Anybody that's in power, anybody that's a king, you know, governor, president, they don't want to be superseded. They don't want to be taken out of power. It takes quite a bit of character for someone who's had power to let it go and walk away from it and boost somebody else up. If we want to have success in life, if we help others be exalted, if we help others be successful, we will be successful. We do this in reverse. We say, I'm going to be successful first, and then I'll help others. But I think that's reverse. I think if we focus on making others successful first, we will be successful. So Herod was fearful because he didn't want to lose his power and his whole family's dynasty. So Jesus was the king. We use this term a lot. We sang it this morning. And just some of the prophecies that you may be familiar with, back in 520 BC, in Zechariah 9:9, which is also repeated in Matthew 21, behold, your king comes. And this was more about when he came into Jerusalem the week of his crucifixion. Behold, your king comes on a gentle donkey on the foal. In Zechariah 14, it says that the king will rule over the whole earth. Now think about that. Jesus is the king of kings. He is ruling over the whole earth. But we've also said in our previous prophecies and studies that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So he does have temporary rule and control over the physical earth that we're on, but it's temporary. And he still cannot do anything that opposes Jesus' will. The king will rule over the entire earth. Joel was alluding to and touting about the Joy to the World song, about how the millennium reign will come. It's that 1,000-year period where Jesus reigns with on earth, face to face with us. He will rule over the whole earth. In John or Matthew 2:2, this is that time where the wise men came to Herod and said, "Where is the King of the Jews?" They knew that this baby Jesus, this Messiah, was ordained as the king. In John 18, when Jesus is on trial for the crime of claiming to be God, and Pilate asks him, you know, he's been wanting to talk to this Jesus. "So, you are a king, huh?" And what did Jesus say? He was quiet, but he says, "It is as you say." So he acknowledged that he was king. And then finally, there's a few different chapters and verses in Revelation. This is the future. This is the coming time that we are headed towards, where Scripture says, and Jesus says, he's the King of Kings. So a King of Kings is a king that rules over all other leaders. So a king rules over a kingdom. His kingdom, in other words, Jesus' kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. And we've talked about this many a time, how the kingdom of heaven starts in heaven, and yet it has control and influence over certain portions of the earth and certain groups of people who are in the kingdom of heaven. Everyone's invited in, but there's only one way you get in the door to the kingdom of heaven, right? You have to be born into it. You have to be born again. You open that door that Jesus is knocking on, and you let him in to your life. You surrender to him, and you are welcomed into this kingdom of heaven. But what do we know about kingdoms? Kingdoms have a king. Kingdoms have rulers. Kingdom has rules that the king lays out. And our king, Jesus, will set up this millennial kingdom when he returns. And this return of Christ brings about what's referred to of God in Scripture, God's absolute rule over his creation, including humankind. You know, right now, while he has absolute rule and sovereignty, he has allowed Satan to have a certain amount of influence. So to accomplish this future kingdom, this millennial kingdom, this baby Jesus, he ushers in two different judgments, two different resurrections, and two different eternities. So you understand there's two resurrections. One is for those who are born again, who are part of the kingdom of God. And the other is at the end of this 1,000-year reign, when all the dead will be brought up to stand before Jesus and be measured whether their name is in the book of life, and if not, they're thrown into the fiery lake of hell. That's the second resurrection. And there's two different eternities. One eternity is spent with God forever, and the other eternity is spent with Satan and Hades and death forever, darkness forever. So I think the question today that we need to be considering all the time is, which king are we submitting to? In this day and age, that answer can bring a lot of trouble into your life. Mm-hmm. Amen? And yet, you better not give the wrong answer. You better not deny Jesus, who's your Lord and Savior, because what does he say? that he will deny us before the Father when we stand before him. Scripture says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And we're going to be measured by, did we deny Jesus? And if you haven't already been tested on this, you know, is Jesus your King? Is Jesus your Lord? If you haven't been tested on it, you will. It's coming. And that's why I'm, I guess, on my soapbox today or harping on this, to get it straight in your heart and be ready. If you have been tested like this before, you know the great blessing that comes after you go through the trial of having to answer that question and the consequences that come from it. And those consequences may last a while. Those consequences may not be fun. They may not feel good. But you got to get it in your heart today to be ready to say, yes, Jesus is King. The government is not our king. The government is not our God. Amen. Yes, we have to submit to them until they tell us to deny our God. So, I hope I'm finding everybody here ready in your heart to stand up to that coming time. Because it can be scary. Because it could mean your actual death or imprisonment. So, if you wonder, we do support jail ministries for our future. All right, any comments or questions before we finish this one out? All right, well, let's gather around and pray for one another.